Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Energy in Action. Today, I am joined with Megan Cranshaw, and she is a beautiful mom of two, and I have loved learning her story. I think that whether you're a mom with Mito or a mom who has kids with Mito, I feel really super aligned when I talk to another mom through this podcast experience. And I think Meg's story is going to be, I think you're going to resonate with it. I think you'll feel some feelings with it. And I'm looking forward to everyone hearing from her. So welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, good, good. Well, let's jump into it. Tell us about you and your family and the connection that was eventually made for you with Mito Action.
Yes. So I'm a wife. I'm a mom to two little boys. I have a son who's four and one who's almost one. I can't believe that. I work full-time at a local university, and I just created and host a podcast about books and reading and making time for rest and reflection, which has been really good and healing for me with these busy days. It's nice to have that outlet for me. The boys, they see a local medical team. We see them every 3 months and we get lab work done and we check in with them. But then we also started seeing Dr. Vockley in Pittsburgh, and we started seeing him about 2 years ago. And at the most recent visit, I was feeling very stressed and isolated because my son's four. So for 4 years, well, 4.5 years, really, I really haven't had a community or anyone around me other than my husband or my parents who are living in this and understand it. So I said to Dr. Vockley, like, I need someone, I need something. So he directed me to Stephanie from Mito Action, and that's how I got connected to Mito Action. And I'm so thankful I did, because I finally have someone, like a small community that understands me. I'm so glad to have met you too, Marcy. So yeah,
thank
so
you.
That's me, and that's how I'm here.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but nobody in the history of your family has had mitochondrial disease, and your first of two boys was born and you found out about it rather early on.
Yeah. So with their condition, they have VLCAD, and from what we understand, both me and my husband are carriers, and that is how this is passed to our children. So we both gave them a recessive gene that gave them VLCAD. So my first son, we found out about 3 days into him being alive. You know, I just got home from the hospital. And what is really tied up in my story, VLCAD and COVID go hand in hand for me, because my son was born at like the height of the pandemic starting in April 2020. So we got home from the hospital and then we're told that something was wrong and that we had to go to the pediatrician. And the first thing she said was, don't Google this. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I give myself a lot of credit. I didn't check for a while, but then a few hours later,
I checked. A few hours. You made it a few hours.
Plus, I mean, we're on our phones all the time.
Right.
I'm proud of
right.
that.
And there wasn't much else to distract you at the time, because you were stuck at home.
No, and like the whole world was falling apart.
Yeah.
And I have a 3-day-old baby. So I checked the internet and it said it was life-threatening, and that was just shattering. You know, I didn't know what that meant. So we saw the pediatrician soon after that, and, you know, she said to me like, oh, well, you know, he made it this far. And I'm like, what do you mean he made it this far? Like, is he not supposed to make it this far? Like, what does that mean? We got sent to the hospital right away because the labs were closed and the hospital was the worst place to be. So we saw people who were really suffering from COVID at the time, and I'm holding this tiny baby, and it was just all so much. So that whole experience, I mean, that is really, it really impacted me and my husband, because it was all tied up in that time. And then our second son, you know, he was born at the end of 2023. And it was a very different experience, but also still very anxiety-inducing because it was Christmas time and the results didn't come back fast enough. And we didn't know for a few weeks if he had it or not. So we found out that he did after thinking maybe he didn't. Yeah, it's been a lot to try to understand with something that we've never heard about before.
Right. I mean, being a new mom is overwhelming as it is with a typical born child, much less one who has health issues. And then on top of that, health issues that you have never even heard of.
Yeah.
And I presume it's pretty rare to pass it for you and your husband to both be carriers and to be able to pass it on to one child and then also to pass it on to your second.
Yeah. It's not common for two people to have this. Like, so my right. husband and I, like, I, you know, it makes you start to think like, where did this come from? Like, why was this meant to happen to us? You start getting in your head about that. Like,
of course.
I met my husband and we both have this thing that we didn't know about. And then it's a 1 in 4 chance in each pregnancy that they'll have the LCAD. So like a 25% chance. And then for it to happen again, I was like, wow, I thought maybe it just happened once, but no, they both have it. And, you know, we spoke with Dr. Bockley and he said they both have a severe case of it. So I'm not even completely sure yet what that means, what that looks like, but we do take it very seriously because he does. And he is the, you know, the leading researcher in this field. So we trust, you know, what he's saying.
You're in good hands for sure. Now, what you've seen with your two boys, I recognize that your younger son is very, very young. Does it resemble how your older son has experienced the disease?
With them, both of them, we haven't really seen much yet.
Okay.
So I know in some cases, you know, it can show very early. So I think that's kind of what the pediatrician was trying to say was that, oh, they made it this far. Like, oh, like nothing really showed up. Like he was showing as a typical 3-day-old newborn. Some kids can have very serious reactions right away. So both of our kids, one of the things we hear most often is they're the picture of health. And I know it's meant to be like a nice thing to say, but
it should in theory make you feel better.
Yes. But then it almost makes me feel sometimes that like people aren't really believing that something is going on. Like they have a lot going on behind the scenes that people don't see. And there's a lot of maintenance that goes on behind the scenes that my husband and I and my parents and I, that we do to keep everything going. But yeah, they haven't had any real reactions. I mean, some of their blood work, you can see like some elevated levels. So if you run the blood work, you'll see, oh, like there's something going on there, but it's nothing crazy out of bounds. If they haven't had any serious reactions. And so, I mean, they're little and things can come. And that's part of the anxiety too. I don't know when it's going to come or how it's going to come. I've heard that in puberty, it can get, you know, accelerated. So I hear things and I'm always watching and I'm waiting for symptoms and that it just, you know, you get in your head about it. So it's tricky, but so far they've overall been absolutely typical, normal to any other kid that you'd see and you wouldn't know.
Well, that's great news, but it is scary to know that the future is really uncertain.
Yeah.
But they have diet restrictions.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. And when they get sick, it can be scary.
Yeah.
So those are the two that really are weighing on you in the present day.
Those are the two things that run our life. Yeah. I mean, Andrew, Colin is still, you know, he hasn't really had too much solids yet. He's starting, but Andrew has a very strict, low fat, like high carb diet. So he really doesn't stray from it. He's been really good about his diet. Interestingly, recently he started to stray a little bit because he got sick. So he started preschool for the first time starting school, you know, within a few days, he got sick and he had to go to the ER because he wasn't eating and he gagged and he threw up a little bit and he had a little fever and he wasn't drinking enough. So we were told to go to the ER. So we went And, you know, he's sick and not feeling well. And he was kind of like traumatized. Like, why am I here?
Yeah.
He said to us, like, I want to rest. I'm like, well, you have to go to the hospital and they have to check you. And, you know, we'll rest after. He was going to go on an IV and then he didn't have to go on. So it ended up being just a few hours there, but that was a lot on him and a lot on us. And then because he had that like little gag and little throw up, that changed his diet. So now he even says to us like, oh, I can't eat what I used to eat for breakfast. I just want a pancake. So like we had a nice structured diet for like 3.5 years. And that now he's like, oh, well, I was sick. So that this is all changed now.
Oh, so,
yeah. So that kind of threw us off.
It's interesting how their brains work. Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's really good about eating overall. He loves kale. He eats the same lunch every day. My husband created this sweet potato chickpea patty. So he loves that. And he has that with baked apples and kale. He has like a Thanksgiving feast for lunch. No other kid is eating this.
Right.
Well, and he brings that to his preschool. Well, right now we're doing preschool half day. And we did that on purpose. So we did that because he has his medication that we do before and after school. So he doesn't have to do that at school right now. Mm-hmm. And we do his lunch at home. But next year, when he starts kindergarten, we're going to have a whole new world. So we're starting to slowly prepare for that, too.
What does that look like in terms of preparation? Will you be able to get in the schools and have conversations, do you think?
We're going to have to set up a 504 plan. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to figure out how to give his medication in school. Right now, he only drinks it in milk. He only drinks it in a certain way. So like, we're going to have to see if we can get him to take it maybe with food or maybe a different drink. And, you know, we have to see if we can have a lunch that's a little more portable. So, but you know, those are things we'll have to work on as we go. But we've just had a steady rhythm for a long time that's kind of kept us afloat. Like we've been in like a survival mode for 4.5 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you wake up in the middle of the night to give him his medicine, correct?
So with Andrew, he's able to go at night. He's able to go 8 hours overnight.
Okay.
So right now, he falls asleep pretty early, like around 8:30, but then we have to give him he drinks it with milk. So he has that around 11:30. So we have to get him up and have him drink that. And then he doesn't have his next one until like 7:30. Colin has to have his formula every 3 hours. So my husband and I sleep in shifts and we make sure that he is fed all night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was like that with Andrew too in the beginning. So like in the beginning, when we were first learning this, we did not know like what this meant. So it almost felt like you're on like a ticking time bomb. It's like, if I fall asleep and I'm 25 minutes late on this milk, like what is going to happen to this child? So it was terrifying to fall asleep. So that's why we discovered working in shifts was helpful, because then one person is like off and the other person is on. So you're trusting that person is going to take care of the time that they're on. So it's a lot for us, you know. Mm-hmm. We sleep separately and we sleep very small.
I give you so much credit. Being a parent is so difficult, and there's so many ways that they lean on you and they need you. And with your kids, that list is even longer of things that they need you to get right, you know?
Yeah.
And I really give you so much credit for the grace that you show with all of this. And I'll be interested to hear how the next couple of years go and whether the symptoms stay at bay and hopefully no other accelerations are shown. That would be so wonderful.
I know. I wonder how much is nature or nurture. I wonder how much we're just maintaining it. Also, Andrew was very protected for a very long time.
Yeah. You
know, we made a lot of sacrifices and a lot of consequential decisions to keep him protected. And I'm proud of that, because we kept him out of a hospital throughout a global pandemic. I did not want to bring a small child who couldn't tell me what he felt into a situation where they were overcrowded and understaffed. And so we got through all of that. But now, you know, they are getting sick because he's in school. all the kids are sick. It's not just him.
Right, right. When you start school, that's immediately when you start getting sick.
Oh my gosh,
right?
Yeah. It's just the way it is. And I know that all my friends with kids, they have the same thing. But with us, like, even if he has a common cold, which is what brought him to the hospital. It was
right,
the common cold.
Right.
Like, if he has the stomach bug, that's a whole different game. Like, because he's throwing up and diarrhea and all that stuff that will make you, like, deplete energy. And that will make things so much harder. Even the common cold had us in the hospital because he wouldn't eat enough and he wasn't drinking and he gagged. And so it's a lot. Like, my friends can just, you know, have a nice sick day with their kids. They could just rest and, you know, they just kind of slow down for a day. But with us, like, we're watching, and I was pacing and watching him and waiting for something to go wrong. And it's a lot to hold. So,
right. So even, you know, we were talking about connection and finding this community with Mito Action. Have you been able to find another parent with a child with VLCAD?
I know of one parent through Mito Action.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't connected too much yet, but I mean, that's it. I mean, apparently there's another kid with VLCAD at our local medical team.
Like,
but I think she's older and we don't have a connection with her. So, like, I know of people.
Yeah.
I know of two, but
right.
I don't have connections with them. So, yeah, it's weird to go through something. It's very isolating. You know, my husband and I really live a life that no one understands.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about parenting and, like, you know, preparing for potty training and when to take them to the dentist for the first time, like, all of those things are ones that, you know, you want to talk to a friend about, but the issues on your plate, the questions on your plate, none of your friends can answer.
And I'm a terrible help to them. They ask me for advice, like, oh, Meg, you know, what did you do with sleep training? Or, oh, what did you do with eating? I'm like, well, I can tell you nothing because...
Right.
My kids,
still waking your kids up.
We sleep in shifts. We did everything quote unquote wrong. We, you know, we let Andrew look at the iPad when he was eating because he had to eat. Like, that was the priority. Like, you need to eat. So we will keep a video on. Like, we will do anything we have to do to get through. Like, survival. We're just getting through. And it works for us. And I try to tell my friends that, like, you do what works for your family. No one else is going to understand what you're living in. So if it works for your family, do it. If they need to sleep in the bed with you, do it that way. Like, they won't do it forever. So you just get through and make do with what you need.
I mean, it's a good lesson in not passing judgment on another family, because you don't know what they're going through, you know? And if my kid skips a meal, granted, I don't know if my kid's in Mito, but they don't have a child onset version, at least. If they skip a meal, they skip a meal. If your son skips a meal, it's a whole different story.
We talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, with him being sick, like, he wouldn't eat. Like, if other kids don't eat something, there's like, okay, well, you know, have a waffle later, or, you know, have a bowl of cereal when you want it. Like,
right,
they can't
right.
do that. They're on a time schedule. Like, I'm mm-hmm. watching the clock. I'm like, you didn't eat in 3 hours. Like, let's go. So it's very stressful. You know, we went to the bookstore the other day. We were driving and we got stuck in traffic on the way back. And so I'm always thinking, like, okay, so, like, this at this time, like, Colin has to have a bottle and he hasn't had one in 3 hours. And now we have to get home. So everything we do is on a time schedule. Like, I run the whole day with knowing when they last ate. And I always have snacks and I always have things packed. When we went to see Dr. Vockley, you know, that's a 9-hour drive and we broke it up into 2 days and we did the best we could, but we had to prepare everything for that trip. Like, we had to make the patties and, like, put them on ice and, like, you know, everything. We can't just roll into a McDonald's and show up and just relax. Everything is like, what can they eat and where and how? And we got stuck in New York City traffic and Colin's screaming in the back and he needs his milk and we had to, like, pull over and get, like, a cup of hot water and, like, warm it up and, like, because we don't know, like, how long they can really go. We have a time frame.
Yeah, and you really don't want to try it.
No.
You don't want to push it.
No. No, I do not want to rock that boat. And, and I know that this is helping them and this is what we can do to help them. Like, I know the things that I can do and that's all I have. Like, I can do everything right and still something could happen to them. And that's scary to me. So this is really all I have, is to do what I can do.
Do you feel like your anxiety levels, I mean, obviously with good reason, but do you feel like
you're constantly in a state of anxiety.
Yeah. And it has definitely affected my health. Like I know like I've had like stomach issues and like anxiety that I've never like had before, because all of my anxiety is really wrapped up in their medical care. And yeah. I've tried to see like, you know, I've tried to talk to people about it. Like, you know, people say like, okay, go to a therapist, but a therapist, it's a very specific thing to be talking about. Like I need someone who understands like medical anxiety. And with parenting, and it's a very specific need and worry, because everyone worries about their kids and all kids get sick and terrible things can happen to anybody. But like, I know the things that can happen. And I have this like weird responsibility to like kind of be in control of maintaining it the best I can. So it is a lot of pressure. My husband feels it too. And, you know, I think it's probably harder for men because they don't have the same way to process that maybe with people in their life.
Communicate, articulate it. In regards to your older son, does he have any physical limitations while he's at preschool?
No. And our older son is so active and he talks so much and he is just like the brightest star. Like he will not stop. So we have to tell him to slow down. He tried like a little soccer group. You know, it's not real soccer, but, you know, like little kids running around. But I
That's
was watching.
Okay. It's got to start somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't really his thing, but seeing him just like run back and forth, I was watching like, can he do this? Like, can he run back and forth? Because what we've been told is that like the excess energy of exercise is not great for them.
So I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know maybe when they're older, like in like, I've heard a lot about puberty in like high school, and I've heard a lot about pools and swimming. Like swimming is very stressful on the body. But yeah, I no restrictions right now. And we're kind of just letting him see what he can do. I mean, he is nonstop. So it really doesn't seem to be affecting him, but we'll see. I don't know how that will change too. And I don't want to stop him from being who he is. Like he tells us like running is his favorite thing. And he loves to dance and run. And I don't know. Like I look at him like, please slow down. Please slow down. I don't know if that's good. But right. So far it has
not. Well, back to that anxiety, right?
Yeah. But see, like I am really walking a line with, I don't want to put that anxiety on him. I don't want him to carry like any worries at his body like that. So I have to be really careful about that. And also like what we tell him about his body. So yeah, it's a lot to navigate at once, but no restrictions right now. He is just go, go, go.
I feel like Meg too. And if we got together and did this episode in, you know, 2 years again, I feel like it would have evolved and these fears would be different and still scary, but I'm sure it'll, you know, you'll be more comfortable with certain things and other things are going to make you nervous, you know?
Yeah, there's always going to be new things coming, like entering preschool. That was a big deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared about him getting sick. And right away he got sick. So I had to go through that fear of going to the hospital and navigating that. And it's going to happen again. I'm sure it'll happen next week. We just got through it.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure we'll get the next one. But then we had to navigate recently a birthday party for the first time. Like he's never been to a school birthday party. So I had to think about how do I handle that? It like hit me at, you know, like 7:30 at night the night before. I was texting the mother and saying like, oh, just so you know, we might have to leave early. I had to let her know that he had something because mm-hmm. I didn't want her to think if we need to leave early, I don't want to be rude. She doesn't know anything about us. So we're now navigating like opening our small circle a little bit and letting new people in who don't know our situation or our restrictions and having
trusting them.
And I have learned with our circle that some people don't know how to handle this or don't want to live by our restrictions and conditions. So it's scary and vulnerable to, you know, open up to new people. And also I don't want Andrew or Colin to ever be judged by it, but we're in a good position with his school. Like there are kids in that school who have a lot of other things. Like, so they all have different things that they're dealing with medically. So I think there's a lot of compassion there, and that's a great place for us to start. And at the birthday party, I was afraid about eating. So like they were going to have pizza And I was nervous about that. I was going to have him eat his lunch after at home. We were going to leave early. But we ended up taking the cheese off the pizza and just letting him eat the bread. And he was happy as a clam. And the birthday boy doesn't like cheese. So he took his cheese off. And I was like, oh, that was the best. The two of them sitting there eating their pizzas without pizza was wonderful. So those are just little things that other people can just go to a party. Like, he didn't eat the cupcakes we left before that happened, just so he wouldn't feel. I don't even think he would want to eat it, honestly. He would just say, like, he actually handed a cupcake to the birthday boy. And then he's like, oh, here you go. But he doesn't want to eat it. And he does that at other birthday things, too. He, like, passes out the cake, but he doesn't eat it because he can't, but also because he doesn't want to. So I wonder, like, what's going on in his head. Like, he's learning about things that he can't have. So that's a whole new world, too, because he's going to be exposed to a whole lot more as he gets older and meets new people.
Oh, parenting is so challenging, and there's so many more complexities to the situation of raising your boys, you know? And I give you so much credit. And I know it's a heavy topic, but, you know, you're a woman. I'm sure for years you thought about becoming a mom and what mom life would look like. And how are you handling the differences in mom life from what you thought it would be to what it really is? And how are you coping with that?
Yeah. I think I give myself a lot of grace and understand that I'm allowed to grieve what didn't happen or what isn't able to happen. They are so wonderful. I am in love with them. I always wanted to be a mom, and they are perfect to me. Like, I could not be happier, but I'm also so stressed, and I could not have more love, but I'm also having the greatest fears. So it's everything at once. But I do grieve that, like, there were experiences that I didn't get to have. Like, a lot of it's tied up in COVID, too. Like, the world was different. So, like, there were, you know, mommy and me things, or, like, getting to show them off and bring them to family parties and bring them to weddings. Or, you know, I missed out on baby showers and funerals and things I should have been at. But I was trying to be so careful and had to make hard decisions and sacrifice a lot. But, you know I did the right thing. I used to joke that, you know, I'm not the best cook. My husband is a great cook. So he does all the cooking. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for everyone in the house. But I was thinking, like, I would, you know, mommy night would be, I'll just take them to McDonald's. Like, McDonald's was fun for me as a kid. It was like, you know, after you went to the doctor, you got a treat. You went to McDonald's. But, like, they can't go there. So, like, I have to find other ways to, like, make it, like, my thing. But yeah, like, and I do grieve the fact that, like, my friends, they get to do things that I don't get to do. They get to have, you know, no one has I don't want to say an easier experience, because everyone has their stuff, and everyone, and I am so much more compassionate and aware of that people have things going on that we don't see, and they're carrying so much. And, you know, mine in comparison might be like nothing to someone, and they might have something so much harder, you know. But I do, for myself, I feel like, you know, there are things that I don't get to do with my kids, for my kids, for myself. So I try to do my best to give myself a lot of grace with that, because there are things that I thought it would be that I don't have. But I will say, I also could never have expected how good my life could be with them. They are just amazing, and they have changed me. And also, I will say, this whole experience has made me so much stronger and a better person. And I'm a strong advocate for them. And I've learned how to use my voice in a new way. And I've become more confident and more trusting in myself. I trust my gut. I've had to stand up for them and myself a lot. So all of that, I mean, it's that outweighs everything to me. I mean, it's that sad to not have certain things, but the good completely outweighs all of that.
I don't think you could have said it any better. You speak so beautifully about your family. I am so glad that you were willing to join us on Energy in Action. Thank you for telling us your story.
Thank you for having me. I am so grateful for this community and to feel connected after feeling, you know, on my own, it's nice right. to have other people. So thank you.
Well, hopefully this is really the beginning stages of your feeling of community within Mito Action. And as the years go on, hopefully, whether it's a VLCAD family specifically or not, other families can help you through things and you'll be able to provide a lot of insight for others as well. And you have your head on your shoulders for sure. So I'm lucky to have met you. I really value everything you have to say, and the positivity that you put into what you say is so lovely. And your kids are so lucky to have you.
Oh, Marth, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. And I am sure we will have Megan on again at some point for another episode of Energy in Action. So thanks for everyone for listening, and we'll be back soon.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.